Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates. Hello, everybody. I'm fucking tired.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back. If you're brand new here, welcome for your very first time. Normally, I have way more energy, but today I just don't.
And you've consumed an immense amount of caffeine, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You should be bouncing off the walls with the amount of tea and coffee you're drinking.
I think maybe I'm like crashing or something. I don't know. Cause I literally had so much energy. Like I had enough energy to go to the thrift store to get something I was looking for and then go through Target and go shopping and then came back and showered. I think maybe the shower just made me like super sleepy. And now I'm just like,
you know, there's something about going to Target that like you have so much fun while you're there. And then you end up buying more things than you anticipated. And you usually forget what you even went there for. And then when I get home from Target, like I am exhausted. Maybe it's like overstimulation. Or I don't know.
Maybe it's all the red.
Yeah. But going to Target does make me sleepy. It's like that same feeling you get after like you eat a big meal. You're like, holy shit, I need to lay down.
Maybe I didn't eat enough today. All I ate was like some coconut shrimp. That's probably why I feel like this.
Yeah.
I didn't give myself enough nourishment. All I ate was chocolate chip cookies and coconut shrimp. And now I'm wondering why I feel like shit. Oh, I wonder why.
Oh my God. That's it?
No. Stupid. Like, I feel bad. It's probably my fault. Whatever.
You need fuel. You need grains.
Fuck your grains.
Grains are the fuel of life.
I don't want any green grains. I wanted coconut shrimp.
I want a brownie in a mug right now. I like love that you showed me what those were, and I also hate it because I love that shit so much.
Sorry.
But for today's episode, we wanted to talk about what
we didn't announce the winner of the giveaway on an episode yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're right. We do need to announce that on the episode. So we did close our giveaway just in case anybody listening does not follow our Instagram. If you don't, go follow at the Witchful Thinking Podcast on Instagram. We did announce the winner, and she picked out her merch item, and that's on its way to her. And funny enough, the 20K giveaway item, she hasn't even received it yet, and we've already hit 30K followers. So thank you so much for everybody who's new here.
Yes. Hello. Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yes. But Gisella Elizabeth on Instagram, thank you so much for entering. And she knows she's the winner by now. We've already talked to her. But yeah, that was fun.
All the way in Finland.
I know.
I had a hell of a time figuring out that address, girlfriend. I'm not going to lie to you. Whenever you listen to this episode, American addresses are so different from, like, I really hope I did that right. But anyways, as we were saying, today's episode is about emotional boundaries and why they are such a vital part of caring for your mental health, because we've been talking a lot about actual magic and witchcraft and shit like that, and it's been a hot minute since we did a little hot take on something therapy and or emotion related. That was stupid. That didn't sound right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm excited for today's topic. And also stick around to the end of the podcast to hear about the guest that will be on our next episode.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We're having quite a few guests in the next few weeks. We have been using a platform that matches guests with podcast hosts, and I'm not gonna lie, it's been a little bit overwhelming booking meetings with people that, like, you don't know is a little bit stressful, and like that's something that's new to me, and like I don't know, so we're gonna see how that goes, but we're super excited and we're grateful that people want to be on their show, and we can handle it. If anyone's listening and you were about to email us to say you wanted to, you know, you're a witch or some type of spiritual practice person and you wanted to be on the show, don't let my stress deter you. I'm fine.
And also thank you to everybody else who reached out to us on Instagram, because we made an announcement a little while ago that we were looking for sponsors and guests, and we have just received a lot of inquiries. So it's a lot to go through since Brooke and I both have full-time jobs, and the amount of interest that we got was like way more than we were expecting. So we are going through emails. We are going through DMs. So hang in there. We just need some more time to get through all this stuff, but it's exciting to be able to have guests on and start thinking about more sponsors. That's something that we said we wanted back in like June of this year. And here we are manifesting it. So
we did, we manifested the shit out of that. And
yeah,
it's a lot. Like, it's a lot of, if you aren't a podcast host and you've never negotiated like that type of thing, it's just a lot. So everyone who's like reached out, if we haven't gotten back to you, we're working on it. If you're waiting to hear back from us and we're already in conversations, we're working on it. Like, life is very busy right now. We're only two people.
It is. And our show is getting bigger and bigger.
One day, maybe, like, we will have the coin to pay someone to handle our public relations. But right now, it's just us.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we can jump into today's episode, which is something that, Brooke, you said you have recently talked about this in therapy. And it's also something that I talked about with my therapist a while ago as well, right?
Yeah, I brought this topic up to Liz today because I talked to my therapist about it, and just I've just realized that there are a few friendships in my life that I kind of need to shed, even if it's temporary. Like, the person really just can't be in my life right now because they are constantly trauma dumping on me, and I'm fucking sick of it. And it's just not, I feel like sometimes in your life you make friendships with people because you're both at the same level of chaotic. And when one of you rises above that or matures past that, the other person is, you can't keep up. You're not on the same level of mature mental function. And that sucks and it's life. And it doesn't mean that you can't ever be friends, but it just sometimes means like you have to hold people at an arm's length. And that's been weighing like pretty heavily on me. And it's probably part of the reason that like I'm so such in a brain fog today and just like not feeling up to. That's the thing is like, even though I don't feel like up to recording right now, I'm like, this is bothering me so much. Like, I know I need to like sit here and talk it out and I will probably feel better by the time we're done.
Yeah. But, that's the thing is like when you feel like a line has been crossed or a boundary has been crossed, like it really can give you brain fog and make you exhausted and feel like you're carrying a person on your back. Like it can really weigh on you and affect your whole day and your mood, your appetite, your sleep schedule, like everything.
Yeah, it can, especially if it's like somebody that you have known for a long time. And at one point, you were very close and you knew everything that was going on in this person's life. And you kind of like bonded, I guess, over the fact that I say you, but really I mean me. You kind of bonded over the fact that like you were both dealing with stress, like of a similar, what's the caliber, I guess. Yeah. And then at some point, you know, one of you makes the move to grow past it and the other doesn't. And it's fucking exhausting. And it's just not something that I can be like, it's not something I can tolerate anymore, but
yeah,
we'll get to like specifics later in the episode. And we, as always, sorry if you're watching on YouTube and I'm doing my hair, it's really bugging me and I can't stop looking at it in the camera and it's pissing me off. So I'm just going to redo it. But as always, any articles that we reference will be linked in the episode description in case you want to go read the full thing for yourself. And we always make it obvious, like we always state in our episodes if we're reading something directly from a website. So I don't want anyone to think that we're taking credit for anybody's words except for our own.
Mm-hmm. We are using an article today that is from realsimple.com. And the name of the article is, oh my God, there's an ad right in front of the name of the article. I'm trying to read the name of the article and I'm looking at it right now. And there's a giant ad right on. Okay. I fixed it. it's called, "This is what it looks like to set personal and emotional boundaries on realsimple.com." So mm-hmm. That is the name of the article. It is by Elizabeth Yuko. And it was published in July of this year. So it's fairly recent. I also, you know, when it comes to like setting personal and emotional boundaries, that can also be difficult if you're like, I'm sure you have also had relationships that like literally started and were bonded on trauma. And it's almost like that was the foundation of the relationship. And I have had a relationship like that. And when it came time to like really move past that, this person could not, like, I essentially was healing from a lot of trauma and this person like was like dragging me down because they had, to me at least, it appeared like they were not going to put in the effort to make personal growth on their end, which, you know, everything in your own time, that person, I hope that person grows and heals from their trauma in the future. But it was a huge reason why like that relationship had to end.
Mm-hmm.
Because that person was dragging me down because of emotional trauma dumping all of the time. And I guess it's not to say that like, you know, you can have close relationships and talk about trauma and things like that. Like we do all the time, but it's not the sole basis of our friendship. And it's, you know, so it's, while we're talking about all of this, we're not saying like, oh, if you talk about trauma with your friends, then you're in a trauma dumping relationship. That's not what we're saying. No. So yeah, just wanted to throw that out there.
Also, while we're kind of on the topic of trauma dumping, I wanted to point this out. I consider it to be trauma dumping as well when complete strangers comment on Instagram posts, or like I get this in my TikTok comments all the time, people commenting their entire like story, whatever it is, like from front, like beginning to end, like they comment like 8 times, like their whole story, just dumping it. And I don't know if they're telling me, I don't know if they're telling everyone in the comments, I don't know if they just want attention, but I can't stand it. And I think that it is so inappropriate to just dump your shit on complete strangers on the internet who don't know you from a hole in the wall. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I really don't. Like that shit sets a fire under my ass. And when my therapist and I were talking, she was like, I can see you getting visibly upset about this right now. Like you are really pissed off at the thought of someone pushing their shit onto you when you don't have the space for it. And we kind of just came to the conclusion that I'm at this point in my life where I am like fiercely protecting my mental stability to the point where I'm getting mad at things that threaten it.
Yeah.
And I feel like for both of us, setting boundaries has always been difficult. Like we used to be big people pleasers when we were younger.
Yeah.
And so now it's just like, I've taken back my time and my mental health and a good state of being. And I'm just not fucking here to be walked on. And I'm not fucking here to be your friggin' diary. And I'm not your therapist. And I'm not your guru. And I'm not fucking doing it. And if you want to be upset about it, go fucking cry in a corner, because I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah. There's a lot of instances where I think a lot of times when people trauma dump onto you, that they're probably not realizing that they're doing it. It's like a lack of self-awareness, but like, those are the kinds of things that they need to talk to a therapist about. And they're kind of treating, you know, whoever they're dumping onto like their therapist. And if I think most of us, especially right now, after the year we just had, most of us don't have extra space for other people's trauma. We're trying to process our own. And not only are we trying to process the trauma of last year, but there are just so many things that people realize, like, oh shit, I have a lot to deal with, to grow and work through. So we're processing the trauma of last year, but like, we're also starting to like try to heal our inner child, and like, we're trying to heal generational trauma. And there's just not extra room for other people's trauma, which is totally fine. And I mean, like, how many first dates did we go on this year where on the first date it felt like the person was trauma dumping, and you're like, bro, I've known you for like 20 minutes. Like, it's hard, because now it feels like that's like a connection point, right? Like we all went through this collective trauma together. And when you go on a first date, you're trying to find things you have in common. And now it's like, oh shit, now we all have trauma in common. Like we know that for a fact, because we all just went through that shit together, but not necessarily something you probably want to like talk about your entire first date, right?
Yeah, not appropriate. It's not, that's something you say for later when both people are consenting and ready for that type of conversation. That's not a, let's sit down at dinner and I tell you about my dad beating me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's a time and place. Like, I don't want to sit here and tell my sob stories any more than I want to sit here and listen to yours. So we all got fucking baggage.
Right.
We don't need to pack it up and bring it to a first date. I feel very strongly about that shit too. Anyways, so to start off, boundaries, I think, are something that we should learn just the way that we learn how to write a check in school. I feel like we should be taught at a young age how to set a boundary with somebody, and it should start in the home. Like, if a relative hugs you or gets too close in your face as a child, you remember your mom or your dad being like, don't be rude, hug them, kiss them. You don't remember who that is. That's your 30th, 800 cousins twice removed. Give them a hug. I think that children should be taught from a very young age, like, setting a boundary and saying no does not always mean that you are being disobedient. I want, if I ever have kids, I want them to know that protecting their personal space and protecting themselves, like their physical bodies, is like, that's the first boundary that I feel like anybody should learn. Yeah. And I feel like when you don't even, when you're not even taught how to set a physical boundary, hell no, you're not taught how to set an emotional boundary. You can't even wrap your mind around what it means to tell somebody, like, back up. I don't want to hear, talk about, be, have you see it, like, talk at me about these things. But yeah, I just, I wanted to point that out. It's just like, a lot of times people don't even know how to set physical ones. So, like, much less emotional ones.
Yeah. And I feel like that's why we're now adults, a lot of us, trying to figure out how to set physical and emotional boundaries is because we weren't taught to do that as children. And in a way, like, I mean, as a child, we had this perception of, like, you should listen to adults, but we weren't taught that all adults are good adults, right? Like, not every adult has your best interests in mind. And it was just like, whatever an adult says, like, you listen. And so it didn't matter what you wanted as a child. And that was a need that was pushed aside and that was ignored, essentially. Like, the example of not wanting to hug a creepy uncle, that was a need that was totally ignored. Mm-hmm. And essentially you're taught, oh, creepy uncle gets preference over me.
Mm-hmm.
And then those, like, those kind of things, I think, subconsciously just embed themselves in your mind. And then we grow up and become people pleasers, amongst other things. And now we're adults having to figure out how to set boundaries because we didn't learn that skill as a child.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you know, setting a boundary is verbalizing your comfort levels. And a lot of it is, like, learning to say no. And that's a hard thing. That is a really hard thing. So, like, in the workplace, oh my God, setting boundaries in the workplace, that can be super hard, I think, for a lot of us. Cause, you know, we're all like, you have to say yes to everything your boss says. Your boss brings you this crazy amount of work that you can't do. Like, you know, this is, like, the work of three people and they're asking you to do it. And you're like, fuck, but I have to say yes. Like, I can't say no. I don't want to lose my job, or I don't want to compromise that raise I want to get next month. It can be really hard to say no to things. But you can say no. You can say no to anybody. You can say no to your boss. You can say no to a friend. You can say no to a partner. You can say no to a stranger. And that's just being fully honest and transparent. And if somebody comes back, even a boss, like, I don't give a fuck who the human being is. If somebody comes back and disrespects your boundaries, that is, I mean, I guess, like, I always like to give people room to change. So, like, if someone had disrespected my boundary and I, like, let them know that, like, hey, you crossed the line here, or I verbalize that I can't do this that you gave me. I just don't have enough time in the day. And if they still don't change or respect your boundary, like, that's not a person you want to be around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that was a really hard lesson for me to learn. Because I mean, I had somebody who at the time, like, I loved dearly, and I said, hey, this is a boundary and you crossed it. And I don't want you to cross it again, but I recognize that I had never told you this was a boundary. So I'm telling you now. And this person was just like, oh, we can't have boundaries between each other. Like, this person thought that meant there would be walls between us. They equivalated boundaries with walls and thought that if I had a boundary, there was going to be a wall between us. It was like, no, actually, this is something that would have made our communication and our relationship with each other, like, workable.
Yeah.
Maybe not workable, but sure would have helped.
Tolerable.
Yeah.
More comfortable. For both people, for you to be feel respected. Like, a boundary, you're right, a boundary is not a wall. A boundary is a line that marks the difference between what is and what isn't within your realm of comfort. And a wall means, like, putting walls up is just, I feel like that over, how do I fucking word this? If you have a wall up with somebody, it's symbolizes that they should have access to something about you for your own well-being. Like, if you have some type of trauma and you're not talking about it, you have emotional walls up, but everyone around you is trying to help you through this trauma and wants to help you work through things. Like, that's different. Like, that's when you need to let people in so that you don't, like, self-destruct or, you know, go down a hole of depression. Does that make sense? Like, a wall is like people who, like, a wall means that eventually someone really should have a right to work the way around it to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a wall is a defense mechanism and a boundary is like self-preservation, right? Like, yes. A wall comes up because something happened, an action led to an unwanted outcome. And so a wall goes up because you're like, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to go there. I don't want to feel that. And I don't want anybody else to see that. And a boundary is like, I flat out am not okay with this. I don't like this. And if you continue to do this, it shows me that you don't respect me. You don't love me. And you're not worth keeping around if you disrespect boundaries, because everybody has them for whatever reason. Like, and people get boundaries for all different kinds of reasons. Maybe you have a boundary that came from a wall. Like, maybe something happened in the past that was really traumatizing and you put up a wall for a really long time. You didn't want to talk about it. You didn't let anybody in on that part of your life. And let's say you go to therapy, you talk it through and you let your wall down, but now you have a boundary. You're like, okay, I don't want that to happen again. So I don't, this whatever thing is not okay with me, so that I don't go back there again. It's a form of, like, keeping yourself safe and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, think about boundaries. How many boundaries have been crossed during COVID with, like, people refusing to wear masks?
Good God.
And you know, like, you see these, like, people just being absolute slimy human beings, and you see videos of people going into the grocery store and they end up pulling out their phone because, like, people are getting aggressive and they start recording and somebody's wearing a mask and somebody's not wearing a mask and the person not wearing a mask gets like, oh, are you afraid I'm going to get you sick? And they'll go like cough in someone's face.
Yeah.
And they think, oh, I'm just playing around. It's like, dude, you really just crossed somebody's boundaries. That's like, actually, I think that's like assault.
Yeah.
That's, and that is like one of a million examples specifically for COVID. Or the 6 feet distance thing. There were people who, you know, how many times did you go into a Target or a grocery store and you were waiting in line and they had those little stickers on the floor of where you're supposed to stand? Like, how many people actually like listen to that? Not so many. Like, people, I remember there being like someone right behind me and I was feeling anxious because like, I'm not trying to get COVID. Like, oh my God, this guy's practically breathing down my back. Why isn't he standing on the sticker? I was like, you know, he kind of like broke my boundary and like the sticker's on the ground, dude. Like, and it's just because they didn't want to do that, you know? And that's, again, that's just with COVID. there's so many other things that like complete strangers will do that just like break people's boundaries when you're just out and about doing your thing. But it happens a lot, like within the home and with people that you are very close to. And it's probably the hardest to set boundaries with people you know and love and care about, because I would much rather, I mean, I would totally bitch out a stranger, but like, it's a lot harder to bitch out an aunt that you have to see every Christmas. And you know, oh my God, if I actually tell this aunt what I feel about her, it's going to make Christmas from here on out a living hell. And like, then you start weighing the odds. Like, do I tell her my boundary and have to deal with potentially having these nightmare Christmases forever? Or do I just shut the fuck up and everybody else will have a good Christmas except for me forever? It's like, you know.
I think that my first real experience with addressing a serious boundary that had been crossed was the beginning of COVID, when I had to pretty much like kind of threaten to tell a person to leave my home if they continued to go behind my back and see people outside of what we were trying to have is like a bubble of like safety.
Yeah.
This was hard.
This was like the very beginning when like everybody was quarantining. Nobody
this was in May of last year. Like literally like, yeah, it was in May. And it was at the point where people, like, I could understand people had cabin fever. This particular person had cabin fever, wanted to get out, and I understood that, but like, think about how much we know now about COVID that we didn't in May of 2020, 2 months after it broke out. Like, it was very inappropriate, and like, my trust was broken, and I was very torn up about it. I mean, you remember, I cried all the time. I was incredibly upset, and I'm not even friends with that girl anymore for a totally different reason, but I will never forget like getting in a fight with her over that, a lie. Like, I was lied to, basically. And that is a huge, like,
She crossed your boundary.
She crossed my boundary. I specifically said, none of us are seeing anybody outside of this house until we know more about this friggin' disease or illness, whatever. And my boundary was crossed, and she went behind my back and thought I wasn't going to look at her location on my phone, and I did, and figured it out because I'm not fucking stupid. And just, it's like things like that. It's like, why did you lie? Because now we both just,
yeah,
now we both look crazy and dumb. Like, shit, that I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that was the first relationship where I really had to set boundary after boundary, because I constantly felt disrespected, and I constantly felt like if I put my foot down and I said no, that I would come off as ungrateful or bitchy or not considerate of their feelings, but it's the fact that like I even had to do that means that you're not being considerate of mine. So how does it taste?
Yeah. I mean, it makes you feel manipulated when boundaries aren't respected. It can make you feel like bullied. It can make you feel anxious. It can make you feel powerless, and it can also like trigger other things like anxiety and depression and trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boundaries are super important no matter how big or small. And it's a really big red flag when somebody continuously disrespects your boundaries. There have been people that have like crossed a boundary with me, and we had just never talked about, like, they didn't know that that was a boundary with me. And so I tell them and they're like, oh my God, I am so sorry. Like they apologize and they don't do it again. Like, okay, that's how that should be handled. But when somebody, if there is anybody that thinks like boundaries are silly or stupid or ridiculous, no matter how little it is, that is a red flag. That is a huge red flag. Like, I don't care how little or silly a boundary may seem to me. It doesn't matter. It's a boundary for somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some common signs that it might be time to set some boundaries with somebody in your life. This is from this article. A few of those may be like feeling chronically taken advantage of in certain situations. That could be emotionally, financially, or physically. Maybe you feel like you say yes all the time to please others at your own expense. Or you constantly feel like you're not getting your needs met because you fear conflict with others and you give in to them all the time. So you totally forget about your own needs because you're not trying to be confrontational in any kind of a way. You might feel often like disrespected, and maybe you feel like you're being stomped on all the time and you're not standing up for yourself. Or you may fear being rejected or abandoned. If you were to tell someone your boundaries, like they're going to leave you, they're not going to be your friend anymore or whatever. Engaging in people-pleasing behaviors, engaging in disrespectful behaviors that hurts others. And that can come from because your boundaries have been crossed so many times that you just fucking explode because it's been crossed so many times. And then you end up acting disrespectful or doing something harmful to someone else because you've just reached the last straw. Or maybe this says flirting with those who are in a relationship.
Ooh.
Or flirting when you're in a relationship, even though it harms others.
Ooh, who does that remind us of?
Yeah. And potentially maybe you're doing whatever you want to get your needs met. And believing that limits don't apply to you. So maybe you're crossing somebody else's boundaries.
Yeah.
So those are some things, those could be some signs that there are boundary issues, whether it's someone crossing your boundaries or you are crossing somebody else's boundaries. If you felt like any of those examples, or you feel like someone is doing those things to you, it's time to start saying no to something. You got to make a change. And also for people pleasers out there, or people who are trying to not be people pleasers anymore, like Brooke and I, there are nice ways to say no. Not that it always has to be nice. Like you can bluntly tell someone, like, don't do that anymore. Like you can be blunt, and there are circumstances, I think, where you absolutely have to be blunt. Maybe you've said something the nice way a few times and they're just not getting it. It's time to be blunt. But it doesn't always have to be like saying no. It doesn't always have to be scary. There are nice ways to say no. You can say, I love you, but I am not available to take on this emotional weight Like, I don't have space for this right now. Or I appreciate that you asked me, but I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you thinking of me, but like, I just can't. Or, sorry, I can't make it this time. Maybe next time. You know, if it's like you have zero energy to go out and all of your friends are going out and like, maybe you like kind of want to, but you know, like I really need to like get some sleep and focus on my mental health tonight. Like, you don't have to go. And there are nice ways to say no. And sometimes in our brain, it feels like, oh my God, they're going to be so mad if I say no and I don't go to this, whatever. Well, first of all, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. What matters is you taking care of yourself, but also like, I think we, at least in healthy relationships, sometimes we blow things up in our head. Like, oh my God, this person's gonna be so upset if I don't go to this dinner with them, with their parents tonight. But I just don't have the emotional capacity because maybe their parents, are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And you're like, I really can't. And we're like, this person's going to be so upset. Most of the time, like, they're probably not going to be upset. We're just like kind of telling ourselves that, and you can say no in a nice way. But I think there are times when boundaries have continuously get crossed, and then you don't have to be nice. And the answer is just no.
When the crackdown comes after you.
Yeah, exactly. So how to set boundaries. There are seven recommendations for how to set boundaries from this article. And the first one is to think through what you need and what you want to accomplish by this boundary. So you may not immediately know what parts of your life need immediate boundaries, and that's okay. And they're suggesting like, give yourself time and space and, you know, self-reflect and really just process your thoughts to get a sense of clarity and give yourself time to think about what do I think I need a boundary for, and verbalizing and naming those emotions allows us to understand different perspectives. And oh, Garf agrees. He said boundaries are good. just self-reflection and self-awareness and really thinking through what you need and what you want. And that's super important.
The second one is to use your personal values as a guide. So again, this article is linked in the description box, but when it comes to setting boundaries, Flint says they need to be in line with your personal values. If I highly value my time for religious expression, my boundary may never accept a work shift during service times. So, for example, here, if Liz and I are planning on recording and somebody is pressuring us to do something outside of that during the time slot where we plan on recording, and like, this is super important to us, nicely saying no or requesting a different time is like a perfect example of using your personal value. What's important to you, what is absolutely needs to be made like time for, or like,
yeah,
you know. And for like, okay, so what if another one is like, if you were planning on being in the studio one day and I was like, we need to record, like Liz knows that she's well within her right to be like, no, actually, like I'm going to be in the studio that day. Like, what about Friday or whatever? And I'm like, okay, fine. Like half the time when people set boundaries like that, you might get so good at it, you don't even look at it as setting a boundary. It's just saying like,
it's just communication.
Yeah, it's fucking communication. Like, I'm not available at that time. I have an appointment. I'm going to the studio. I'm having a friend over, whatever. And when it becomes an issue is when someone gives you pushback, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when someone just can't see that, hey, this is what I need to be able to do whatever it is. And when someone's like, essentially, no, you're going to do it my way. It doesn't work like that, bro. Doesn't work like that. The third one is understanding that different relationships require different boundaries. So that makes sense to me. You know, you're going to have different boundaries with a relationship, an intimate relationship with a partner than in your. Garth agrees. So vocal tonight.
What is going on, little
I know. Versus like a boundary that you're gonna have with your parents or your boss or your coworkers and your friends. There's gonna be different types of circumstances that you're gonna be in with all these people, different types of things you're gonna be working on, talking about, and so it only makes sense that you can have different boundaries with all of these different dynamics that happen within your life.
I'm going to give a good example of like a friendship boundary that I'm about to set. Hmm. No, not with you.
I know. I know what you're about to say.
I've been talking to my friends at length about this for like a day or so, and it was part of the reason why we were even having this conversation right now, and it was what I referenced at the beginning of this episode. But this is just a really good example, and I know that there's so many people listening who probably go through this all the time on either end, like maybe you're me or maybe you're my friend and don't even realize like the seriousness of the situation. But I've been super bent out of shape this week because I really do not appreciate when people dump other people's personal stuff or drama or serious life shit on me. I don't like small town gossip. I don't like being involved in other people's marital affairs. I get stressed out hearing about people's issues that I don't know. And I'm not talking about like going on Twitter and seeing like a bomb exploded in like Saudi Arabia and like a bunch of people were killed. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, that's like a serious thing. Like, I do care about shit like that. I'm talking about someone like calling you out of nowhere and just unloading Sally Mae's latest fuck up, or, you know, Susie Ann got cheated on and blah, blah, like people that I don't even know. Yeah. I get very stressed out by it. I don't have anything to say.
Why is that like such a boomer thing? That sound like that to me, I equivalent that with like our grandparents. Like anytime I hear like grandparents on the phone, they're like, did you hear Susie Ann Louise is
diabetic? I don't care. And this is the thing. Saying I don't care it's looked at as such a taboo. And people are like, oh my God, you don't care about that? That's so mean of you. I don't care. And that is okay for me to say. I don't care about people's issues that I don't know when it comes to hearing about them through someone who isn't actually dealing with them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like it wasn't like your friend was saying, hey, I've like got this going on and I really just needed to vent to somebody about it. It wasn't your friend was like took on somebody else's emotional trauma dump and your friend couldn't handle it. And so your friend like wanted to pass it on.
And that bothered me. Like I am here. I am almost too accessible to my friends whenever they need me. I will answer the phone for you at any time of the night for your shit. Especially like for people who I talk to every single day. Like you, Victoria, Kayla, like people like that I talk to all the time. And I'm always going to be here no matter how big or small your problem is. But my problem with this person was that, one, I rarely ever talk to them, and I really just feel like the only time they reach out anymore is when something is falling apart for them, or something is falling apart for somebody that they know, but that I don't know. I don't have a response. I don't want to dive into details. That sucks is really all I can say, which is my least favorite thing to hear. And it's my least favorite thing to say to somebody who is hurting, but I don't have anything to say. And what the hell am I going to do for you or your 10 friends that I don't know anything about and their issues from 200 miles away? It's just like, that is a huge emotional boundary that I need to set with this person, is just like, I love you. I'm always going to be here for you when things in your life are falling apart, when you're going through something, when you're feeling awful. I'm always going to be here for you, but I do not have the fucking room for X, Y, and Z if it doesn't have to do with you. And I don't care. No matter how serious somebody else's issue is in your life, like, you are who I am focused on in this relationship. Not everybody in that tiny ass cow town. I cannot do it. And the reason that I think it upsets me this much is because I look at it as them trying to hype me up, like not hype me up, get my adrenaline going, stress me out, upset me. And it's like, it's a physical, like, chemical battle in my body because of how my antidepressants work. Like, Lexapro specifically, I found out today, works by suppressing your anxiety so much to the point where you can begin going out and doing things with people and basically leading the kind of life that I've led for the past like 8 months or so, without worry and fear and stress. So when someone tries to introduce unnecessary worry and fear and stress to me, I get like this, and I'm overstimulated and I can't breathe. And it pisses me the fuck off, because I'm like, I've worked so hard to be like this, just flat, just not flat, but like steady and stable and happy and unbothered. And I will be damned if you call or text me about so-and-so getting drunk and wrecking their car into a fucking tree. I don't know them. That's not the story. That was just something I made up. I don't know them. And is that awful? Yes. If they died, that is a fucking tragedy, but I'm not stopping my life and crying a river over something that doesn't have anything to do with me. And I know plenty of people are going to hear that and be like, you asshole. No, it doesn't make me an asshole.
Yeah.
At all. I am protecting my emotional stability, and I'm stating what I can and cannot be present for. Like, this, I can be there for someone who says, like, my friend was just in an accident, I am extremely upset, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to cope. You're who I'm here for.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, I can't. It ups, like,
you know, can, someone,
like, pissed off.
Yeah. Someone's like, not actually screaming, but just saying, like, I don't care, is literally someone screaming out a boundary, right? Like, no matter what the circumstances, even if it's like, if someone's just saying, I don't care, and you're right, that is such a thing in our culture where people are like, oh my God, you're an asshole. Someone saying, I don't care, is their boundary. They're saying, I don't have space for this. I don't want to hear about it anymore, or I don't want to see it. I don't want to be involved, whatever it is. And to the person receiving those words, it might be like, whoa, oh, okay. And it might even be hurtful depending on what it is, but it is still that person saying, I don't care, is saying, like, this is my line in the sand.
And it also, like, yeah, it might hurt your feelings, but you know what else hurts my feelings? Not hearing from you unless the world is going up in flames. Your world is going up in flames.
Yeah.
I can't be here for somebody, be here for you and all the 20 people whose lives are falling apart in your life
Yeah.
You don't even check on me. I can't fucking do it. So I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings.
And you probably start to associate that person with stress and anxiety.
Yes.
Because the only time you hear from them is when there's something stressful and there's a lot of anxiety or trauma or whatever. And like that person to you, like even just getting a text message from that person, even if you haven't read it yet, might like spike your anxiety because you now associate them with those feelings.
I have a couple of friends like that, that I have to keep their messages on mute because like it will throw off my entire day. And I hate that. And I'm done with it. And now that I'm noticing like how worked up I'm getting and how, you know, I'm visibly like irritated that I even have to deal with this. I know that like, this is if you're like me, if you're listening right now and like you resonate with this, like that's a huge sign that you too need to set a boundary because this is not acceptable. I don't need to be stressed out about Sally Mae's divorce. Who the fuck is Sally?
Yeah.
Who is she? I don't know who she is. Like, yeah. That's like that TikTok audio. Who is Todd? I don't need to change for Todd.
Yes. Yeah. That is, you can totally tell how Southern we are because of the names we pull out. Jean, Sheen, Louise, like what?
Jean, Sheen, Louise.
Because of the names we use as examples.
Jean, Sheen, Louise.
I don't know. But that goes with number four, which is evaluate your relationships. And if you realize it is now time to set a boundary, you can set it. And based off of how that person responds, like you said, like maybe you need a temporary break from this person, or maybe you need a permanent break from whoever it is, depending on how they react to you setting a boundary.
Yeah, it's one thing if they get their feelings hurt, that is to be expected. That doesn't make them a horrible person if their feelings are hurt. They're only human. But if they get volatile and shitty towards you, or they try to gaslight you, or they're like, wow, like you're I need support and you're attacking me and being mean to me instead of like being here for me, that's a sign just to cut the cord and just let them go. Block them.
Which is hard. That's really hard to do. Five is realizing that it takes patience and practice. It takes practice to say no to people. Mm-hmm. And it could take, I guess you have to decide, you have to weigh the pros and the cons of how much patience you're going to have with a person. If this is somebody who you're so close to, you love dearly, or maybe it's someone you work with, you see every day, and you're like, I really want to make this work. You get to set the level of patience that you have for a person. You don't have to give someone an eternity to work with your boundaries. Like you can cut someone. Honestly, if they react wrong the first time and you didn't like that shit and you want to cut them off, like that's fine. You can do that. Or if it's someone who you really, really, you're like, oh my God, I really want this to work. You can be patient and try to work with them, but it's like, it's all in your terms. Like it's your boundaries and it's your terms.
Yeah, exactly. It is your terms. And if they don't respect it, they don't have to sign on the dotted line and they can see themselves out the door.
Exactly. Yeah. And six is speaking up for yourself. And that's exactly, you know, it says in parentheses, respectfully. I disagree. I don't think you always have to be respectful. I think we can all, I don't think anybody who's just like maybe a genuine person who's really trying to mend or keep a relationship by setting a boundary is going to be disrespectful. But there are times when things have just been crossed so many goddamn times and you feel like you have been speaking up for yourself and they just keep stomping and stomping and stomping. And there comes a time where sometimes you end up blowing up, and that is that is because someone has repeatedly pushed your buttons, crossed your lines, and disrespected you. And a lot of times I think, I mean, this happens with people who gaslight you.
Yes.
You blow up and they're like, oh my God, whoa. Like I just said this one little thing. You're crazy. You're blowing up on me. Actually the blow up came from poking the bear with the stick one too many times.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't just blow up because you're a bad person. You blew up because your boundaries were crossed too many times. So
exactly. And what happens when you cross a boundary in war?
Mm.
War.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think that, you know, I think we should all be respectful when and where we can, but you know what? There are going to be times where shit isn't respectful and I don't think you have to be.
Yeah. And that's, it's all about the when and where of the situation, like whatever it depends on, like the, if it's something, if you just like, don't want someone to put your throw pillows on the ground, it could be like, can you actually just like set them on that blanket? Like that's respectful. Yeah. When it comes to something like the same person repeatedly,
calls you a terrible name or something.
The same person at a bar tries to touch your ass or get your number or bother you. You don't have to be respectful like that. Like, no.
Yeah. No. Absolutely not. Shit's not coming out respectful if you're in that circumstance.
Just to give a range of like examples, I guess, like throw pillows versus the bar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Number seven is pay attention to relationship changes and hold your ground. So when you decide to set a boundary, it is really important to watch if the relationship changes or not. Like if the person respects it and it just, things just flow naturally as they always have, except for they're not doing this thing that they were doing before, or they are doing something that they weren't doing before that you needed them to do, that's good. But if you notice after you say like, hey, this really bothers me, I need you to stop doing it, and they say that they respect it, but then they get distant or they get passive aggressive or cold, or they start making little comments, that is not respecting it at all. That is them being pissy that you told them what to do, or you asked them to not do something they're doing. And that doesn't fucking count. It doesn't count as respecting it if the person gets nasty about it. Like, again,
yeah,
send yourself out the door, ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know how many times that I was in a circumstance like that with somebody who I had to cut off. I had to totally remove this person from my life because I explained my boundaries over and over again and they were continuously broken. So it was like, I tried to have that person in my life and tell them my boundaries and it just didn't work. And what happened a lot was either boundaries were just totally broken, or this person would be like, yeah, I mean, I guess I'll fucking do it, but like, I don't, you know, like literally just acting bitter about my boundaries or making me feel bad that they had to adhere to my boundary. It's almost like, I mean, I don't know if this is the same thing or not, but to me, I kind of feel like it's the same when like someone should apologize to you because they knew that they did something wrong versus you having to ask for the apology. Like this person, when you tell them your boundary, they should adhere to your boundary because you just told them it's your boundary. You shouldn't have to beg for someone to work with one of your boundaries and then they're spiteful about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if those two things go together, but for some reason in my head they did.
Yeah, when people get spiteful about like you setting a boundary, first of all, it reflects their maturity. Cause I feel like that to me, that's like telling a child, you can only have one cookie. And they're like, fuck you, I'm going to take two just because mom said no. And that's so childish. Or you tell a kid not to touch something in a store, so then they really want to touch it. That's just extremely childish behavior. And it is so telling of who they are just underneath it all. And it's so irritating. And I think for me, one of the biggest yet seem so small, but it has actually been a pretty big boundary that I've had to set over and over and over again in my life is people wanting to touch my hair. Mm. I would think that that is so simple and so little. It's your personal space. It's your hair. It's your head. Why would you think that it's such a big deal to ask people not to do that? But the reason that it is a big deal is because of what my hair looks like. And because I'm biracial, my hair doesn't look like a white person's hair because I'm not just white. And that is why it's a big deal, is because I am so othered. I've been othered my whole life. And that is just another way I've been othered, is people thinking like, oh, but it's so pretty, I just want to, I don't give a shit. A damn or a fuck. I don't.
Yeah.
Stay away. Don't touch it. It is one of those things that has always seemed monumental in a friendship or a relationship, where when I say like, don't touch it. Cause I'm not nice when I say it. I say that back up. I've always done it.
Don't have to be nice.
No, I don't have to be like, don't touch the art, please. No, I can be like, don't touch my, that's my personal fucking space. It would be different if it was like an art piece on the wall and I'd be like, hey, can you not touch that? But no, it's my fucking head. So I'm like, it's a basic human right to have your personal space respected. So why do you think you can touch my head?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? People watching on YouTube. Yeah, I get it. You probably want to crunch up on these too. Yeah, I understand. Back up. Seriously,
back though. Tom Nook.
Back up a little, Tom Nook. The main
Dude, Tom Nook from Animal Crossing was always up crossing boundaries all up your fucking asshole.
He needs to learn the importance of boundaries. That MF didn't know. Dang. I will never forget when Liz first started playing that game and she was like, why is he so up my asshole? Back the fuck up a little.
I can't even go in the damn like store and like look at anything without Tom Nook being up my ass.
Oh my god, so annoying. He's the epitome of back, like epitome. Anyways, short story. Everyone who has listened to this podcast from like the beginning and you went through the whole mothering series and everything knows that I really do not have really any relationship at all with my biological mother. And if you've listened to that episode, I kind of went into a little bit about like how weird she was about my appearance, how weird I still think she acts about my appearance on the rare occasions I do see her. But I remember this so vividly, and this just goes to show, like, you have got to watch what you say to children, especially about their appearance and what they should and should not allow other people to do to them. I remember one holiday, it was like Thanksgiving or Christmas, and I was like 10 or 11, and I have hated my hair being touched from a very young age. I don't know where it started. I really don't. Even before I knew I was like mixed or understood what that meant, I've just never wanted my hair touched. But I remember her telling me, she looked me dead in my shit, Liz, and she said, you're going to stop telling people to not touch your hair. You're going to let people touch your hair. You have to stop that shit.
What the fuck?
Telling me, a little girl, that I needed to allow people to cross a boundary that I'd set for myself.
Yeah. Jesus.
Like, I will never, ever, ever forget that. And I just looked at her and continued telling people, don't touch my hair. Like, and the way she looked at it was like, you're being rude. People are trying to compliment you. I don't give a shit, damn or fuck. Yeah. Maybe I don't. If I let everybody touch my hair whenever they please, it wouldn't look the way it does when I've actually done my hair, like taken time to do it, which I haven't done my hair in months.
Yeah.
Why should I eat my ass?
I second that.
Go. I second that.
This... I feel like we always say, like, in the middle of an episode, that's going to be the title. And then this is not going to be the title, but I want the title to be Eat My Ass.
God. Cross
boundaries. Eat my ass.
I told you that I'd feel better by the end of recording. The way that the energy level has changed for me since hitting record. Setting boundaries. Eat my ass.
Yeah. Oh, right. Setting. I not crossing.
Crossing boundaries. Eat my ass.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's, I mean, boundaries are just, they're so important for yourself. And there are times when, like, you have to say, fuck everybody else. What is going to make me happy? Or what do I need to set so that, like, I'm not triggered, I don't have anxiety? Like, it doesn't even matter. It could literally be like, I don't know. It can literally just be something small. Like, oh, you know, I actually brought this up a long time ago in an episode. So as a kid, I hated being tickled, hated it. And that came, I remember there was a time that came from when I had some babysitters. Yes, I had multiple babysitters watching my brother and I. My mom paid like three of her high school students when she was a teacher to babysit us and clean the house at the same time. While she was gone doing whatever. So there was a time where like all three of them pinned me down and tickled me. And I like literally pissed myself.
Not funny.
And they thought it was so funny. And I was mortified. I was absolutely mortified. I was probably like, I don't know, maybe 6, 7 years old. And also like tickling hurts. I don't know if this, I'm sure everybody else feels this way, but like when your tickle is like a form of pain and it like hurt and I was screaming like, stop, stop, stop. And you know, they're just like, oh my God, this is so fun. Tickle, tickle, tickle. No, I was actually really pissed off. And then I actually pissed myself. And that's just one of those things where people think like, it's so innocent. It's like, this is fun. But like, I was screaming, stop. And I think that's something where, I mean, you know, parents tickle their kids all the time and they're like, the tickle monster is going to get you and shit like that. But like when a kid is screaming, stop, like you need to stop, even if it's tickling. Like I had set a boundary and they just steamrolled over it. And those girls were so nice. Like I'm friends with them on social media. But that's just an example of like, I was screaming stop and they were having a fun time tickling me. And they thought that was just such an innocent thing. Mm-hmm. And for years and years and years, I mean, it would depend on who's tickling me. Like, I mean, I'm an adult now and there's not many other adults like going around tickling each other. But if someone tickled me, like there's a potential I might like have a adverse reaction because like, I don't like being tickled.
Yeah. I don't like that shit either. I don't like my lower back being touched. It literally makes me think like if you hit it at a certain angle, it hurts. Like it doesn't, like my bones don't hurt. It's like my skin is like extra sensitive.
And I hate interesting.
Like so I get that. I hate.
Yeah. Something I also used to hate. I don't hate this anymore. Because I have like come to terms with my body and I love my body now. And there's days where I don't love my body, but they're like, I used to just be so, so self-conscious of like my lower tummy, you know, like our little poochie area. And I hated when I was dating someone and they touched it. Like, yeah. Don't fucking touch my lower belly. Like, I did not want that. And no matter what the reason was, even though the reason was I'm self-conscious of this area and I don't like you touching it, it doesn't matter what the reason was. I didn't want people touching it. And that almost made people want to touch my tummy more. Like, mm-hmm. And I was just like, please don't touch it or grab it or squeeze it, because that makes me feel worse about myself. And I'm trying to work on this right now. I'm trying to work through not hating my body. I'm trying to work on being healthier, and you grabbing it makes me feel worse about myself. And they would just continue to do it.
Why would you do that to somebody? Like, I can't understand why you would do something so.
It was like, disrespectful. And this person thought it was funny.
You crazy.
They literally thought it was just funny. And I am okay with that now, because I have had time to work through my mental health around my body. Obviously, there's still days where, like, we all have bad days with things that we've worked through. But like, I can have my partner touch my lower tummy now. And I like my, especially the partner I'm with right now, like, you know, like, physical touch is like one of my love languages. And I feel very loved if they were to just like put their hand on my lower tummy. But it took me a long time to get there. Yeah. And if I had that issue now, and I told the person I'm with now, hey, this is a boundary, this person respects my boundaries, and I know that they would not touch my tummy if that's what I wanted. And that just goes to show that there are plenty of people who will respect your boundaries, who love you and respect you. And if someone thinks your boundary is funny, that's a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Or if it tempts them to keep crossing it,
that's, yeah, a red flag. Is this episode about red flags? there's a lot of it in here, but
we could probably do a whole episode on the worst red flags we've ever seen.
Oh shit.
Oh God, that would be so freaking funny. That would be funny to have like a lot of like guests on for, like girl guests, like the worst red flags. We could do a whole series, like just have like a guest every time who just talked about their specific worst first dates or something. Ooh.
Or we could even read listener red flags. So DM us your like, what would you say, craziest red flags you've ever seen, and we can read them and like let us know if you want to include your name or not. And like, you can put, you know, I listened to this other podcast that they read listener things like that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think it's called Ladies and Tangents. And they always read like Sarah, female, age 24. You know, like they always read like the name, and then if the person would like to include how they identify, and then their age, if they want to include that as well. And then they read the comments or whatever.
Mm-hmm. We should do that. So, we could totally do it.
Yeah. So DM us your red flags. We'll save them. And it would be fun to create an episode reading all of your the craziest red flags you've seen in men or women or whoever.
Oh, I'm excited for these.
Yeah. Blow up our DMs. Blow it up.
we might have to also make this put this on Wednesday's story as well. Mm. In case, you know, for whatever reason, people like don't listen all the way through, which, like, what are you doing if you don't listen all the way through? We're hilarious.
I know, right? And all, speaking of all the way through,
Osara egg time.
All right, well, today was about boundaries and red flag. Oh, you know what, maybe it should be the red flag. So if you got all the way to the end, should we do the red flag or a red?
No, do a stop sign.
Oh, a stop. Yes, for boundaries. Stop. Yes. Yeah. Do the stop sign. I'm learning ASL right now. This is stop.
When did you start learning that?
I started learning ASL a few weeks ago with my SO. Every time we see each other, we do a lesson of ASL together.
That is...
Because we want to be fluent and we both wanted to learn a new language, so we're learning ASL together.
Oh my god, y'all can like talk shit out in public now.
Yeah, well, we went to the grocery store the other day. I went with him to go get his groceries and somebody was in the way and I was like, excuse me, because this is excuse me.
Wait, you did it to the person?
I mean, I said out loud, I did say, excuse me, but I did this when I said it. I said, excuse me. And I signed, excuse me.
You know, if you get fluent in that, you can add that to a resume if you ever decided you wanted to, which I hope you never have to. But if you ever decided you wanted to like
be an interpreter or something, or just like that. Yeah, that I know ASL. And I personally wanted to learn ASL and become more fluent because I have forgotten the little ASL that I knew years ago. And I have many deaf relatives, and a lot of them can lip read, but you know, I don't want them to have to lip read. And there's only so much of a conversation you can have.
Mm-hmm.
When someone's lip reading, and just like I don't expect everybody in the United States or the world to speak English, I don't expect my deaf family members to just read my lips. So
hold on. Let's try this. Hold on. I'm going to turn my sound off and I want you to say something and I'm going to see if I can read your lips.
Oh, wait. No. So I need to mute myself.
Oh, yeah. Duh, duh, duh.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll mute me. Okay. I'll say something. And then you try to see what I said.
Okay. Oh my God, that's so hard. I have no idea what you just said.
Like, not at all.
Do it again.
Okay, one more time.
I want to go on a boat and fish.
That's not bad. I said I went on a boat ride and caught a fish.
Okay.
But see, like, there's only so much of a conversation you could understand. Pretty good, though. Wait, you do me.
Okay.
So mute yourself.
Okay, hold on.
Oh my God, that is so hard. Do it again. Wait, go slow. Do slow it up and do it again. Like literally nothing. I don't know if I'm just bad at that, but like, I don't know.
I said monkeys love to eat bananas.
Oh my God. There's no. No. I can't believe you even picked up. You picked up like actually like half of what I said.
Damn.
I could not have guessed anything reading your lips.
That is crazy. Dude, this nuts. That is not. I love that we play this little game. Like,
so okay. Comment the stop sign emoji on the Instagram post if you made it all the way through and listen to our shenanigans. And we hope you enjoyed the episode today.
Don't forget to go send us your red flag stories in our DMs too.
Yeah.
And
oh wait, what? Shit!
What
we. Our next episode, we didn't announce, we have to announce our guest and who's going to be on the next episode.
Oh my God. Okay. If you're still here, we just simply cannot end anything ever on
the
proper note, whatever. So on our next episode, we're super excited. We are having Veronica Varlow on as a guest. Her new book just came out. and it is called Bohemian Magic, and it is gorgeous. And she's going to be a guest on our show, and I'm so fucking excited. But just a little bit about her. She is a, well, was a burlesque dancer, a pinup model. She's a fifth generation Romani gypsy witch, and she's just really freaking cool. Okay. And we're really excited about this. She also, side note, her book is available for purchase on Amazon. So if you want to go check it out before next week's episode, feel free.
Yeah. She sent us both a copy of her book before it was released. So we kind of felt a little special. And we both are reading through it, taking notes, and we're going to be talking about her. Wow. Her book with her in the next episode.
Yes. And if you want just a little bit of a background of what the book is about before you buy it, or if you're thinking about it, it says on the description, an enchanting and glamorous handbook for aspiring witches and ritualists of all levels, filled with potent, never before available spells, potions, charms, and more, and illustrated with 150 photographs. Your life is the greatest spell you will ever cast. Veronica Varlo. It is beautiful. I mean, the work that she put into this book is, it's astounding. It is so gorgeous. I'm very excited to meet her and talk with her. So that's like, this is our first like big deal guest. Like,
I mean, I know.
She's famous.
Didn't you say she's, what else has she, where has she been on? You said she's been on like CNN.
Yeah, she's been on, I think MTV, CNN, like she's done a lot. This girl's impressive.
I know, I'm so excited. Shit.
What? And they reached out to us, like the publishing house reached out to us for her to be on our show. I'm so excited.
I know. So we're hyping it up just so that you guys get super excited for next week's episode, because it's going to be an amazing one, and we're excited to have our first witchy guest and someone who's like written a fucking book and sent to us. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. The fucking thing is gorgeous. Like, I can't, oh God, I can't say enough about it. I'm so excited. This is going to be great. So yeah, make sure you tune in next week, and until then, see you on the flip side, witches.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Class is now in session. And the UPS store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.